morning, everybody. Welcome to Ascend Church. I'd like to invite you to stand and worship with us this morning. If you feel inclined, put your hands together and clap.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its dealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Here we go.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty. About me, let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, come on, He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is, I know that He can do for you what He's done.
This morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, you're here.
Watching online, you know, we're singing about heaven, God's kingdom coming. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, they saw God's kingdom come, and Jesus was accessible. You know, sometimes people think that what is going on in their life doesn't matter that much to God. There's more important things that matter, but Jesus proved that God is compassionate towards what we're going through. He, at a person's word, Jesus would stop and change direction to go and lay hands on somebody who was sick. Jesus would stop because somebody's faith moved him. He was always looking at people with eyes of compassion. And this is a time in the service where we want to pray for you. If there's anything you have need of in your life, if there are things that you're going through that you just say, I need to bring this to the Lord. I need God's help. We have a prayer team that are full of faith. They are people that have just through the years have prayed and seen results, and they want to pray with you today. So this is the last song we're going to sing. And as we do that, they're going to line up at the front here. They're available. Feel like people felt when they were in that crowd with Jesus, they felt the freedom to go and reach out to him and get what it was they needed. So if there's anything you need prayer for today, somebody in your family, any circumstance you're facing, feel free to come forward and we'll pray with you. And I want to pray for those that are watching online. Whatever your need is, the same goes for you. God wants to meet your need. God wants to heal and save and deliver. And so, Father God, we just stretch out our faith to those that are watching online. I just get in agreement with them right now that God's kingdom come in their home, in their marriage, in their body, in their life. Father God, that every need is met, that Jesus meets every need. Father, thank you for your healing power flowing through bodies right now. Let there be miraculous testimonies of miracles taking place. We just release your power to flow in their lives. Thank you for meeting the needs in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together. We're going to sing about the Holy Spirit this morning. And if you need prayer, come forward and we'll pray with you.
Nothing worth more that will ever come close.
tasted and seen all the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, bless you in this moment. We worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. We come and we bow our hearts before you. God, we just magnify you. We glorify you in this place. There is none like you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All week long, the Holy Spirit has just been bringing to me that today is a day of restoration. For somebody, today is a day of restoration and healing for somebody in this room. Thank you, Jesus. And if you would just raise up your hands, if you would just lay down your pride, who cares who's to the left or the right? Raise up a praise, a worship to God this morning and receive what is yours. Receive what is yours. Oh, Holy Spirit. Fill the room, fill the room, yeah. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come on.
Come on this place and fill the atmosphere. Your
of heaven on the earth today. And the Holy Spirit is our access to the Father. And so as we open our hearts and we open our church and we open our homes to the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are welcoming God's presence into our lives. And as you welcome the presence of God into your life, you get the results of what the presence of God carries. Because the presence of God carries the peace of God. There is a peace that passes understanding that you cannot get from anything in the world, says the Lord. You can meditate, you can read inspirational books, you can sit quietly, you can do yoga, you can do all kinds of things in the natural to gain peace. But there is no peace like the presence of God upon your life. And so whatever you do, get the presence of God in your life and in your home. And as you lift your hands before the Lord and welcome the Holy Spirit, whether it be at 6 a.m. in your own bedroom, or whether it be in your workplace, or whether it be driving in your car, when you welcome my presence, says the Lord, you welcome what I carry, and you begin to carry what I carry. You begin to walk in everything that I have, says the Lord. For there is not just peace, but there is a healing anointing that is carried with you, that carries into your family, says the Lord. For in my presence there is healing. In my presence there is deliverance. So welcome my presence. Holy Spirit, just lift your hands one more time and say, Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. We welcome you in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God.
Well, bless the Lord. Church, I want you to give God a praise like you've never praised before. Come on, you can do better. Come on. That was a rhema word straight from heaven. God, I love my church. All right. So if you would just take a second, greet the person next to you. Say hello. All right. I love to see all the friendly, happy faces. It's like one big family. Well, we're going to show a very short clip. As you know, it is Pastor's Appreciation Month. Somebody give a shout out. Hey. All right. So it's Pastor's Appreciation Month, and we're going to be celebrating our pastors all October long. So we're going to show you a short clip, and followed by Miss Allison Cartwright. Thank you.
Hey, Ascend Church. So we are Jen and Joey, and we're super thankful to be part of this church, and we're so thankful for our pastors, Steve and Jill, because they've been such an inspiration to us. They've been so motivating, providing encouragement, and they've helped our family get closer together. They've helped us grow in our faith, and they've just challenged us to be better people and to live on fire for God. We're so thankful for them. We're thankful for everything they do and the example that they provide and the church atmosphere that we have and the beautiful people that we get to be there with every Sunday. So we're honored to serve, and we're very happy that our serving team is growing and the environment is becoming one of everyone being more unified, and it's just amazing how it's growing. So we love you, Pastor Steve and Pastor Jill, and we're just amazed at how everything is working out.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
What happened to the clear one? Perfect. Well, I have to hold the envelope, and so I need to. I don't have three hands. All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome. My name is Allison Cartwright, and I have been attending church here for, gosh, I think the second Sunday they opened here when they kicked off a conference, when they started the church from South Africa. And my little brother Micah, who is now 6'3", I think, he was 3 months old when the church started. And so, God bless. We love Pastor Steve and Jill. I have traveled all over the world, literally. I've been to England, New Zealand, Australia, churches all over the world, all over the U.S., and I love that this is my home and that Pastor Steve and Jill are faithful, spirit-filled, know how to pray, know how to believe God, know how to preach the word. You don't find that everywhere. Trust me, you don't find that everywhere. So there's a couple things I wanted to share today. And yes, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, but we should be honoring them all year long. Can I get an amen? Right? It shouldn't just be October. We have to, you know, it's nice to do something special, but all year long we should be thinking about them and praying for them. But as Christians, we are taught in the word that we are to honor the man and the woman of God. In Romans 13:7, I hope they have that, it says, give to everyone what you owe them. and then it lists out a whole bunch of things, but it says, if honor, then honor. And in 2 Kings, there's the story of the Shunammite woman and the prophet Elisha. And he was always traveling by her house. And she said to her husband, let's build a room for him. He's always traveling, and it's got to be a tough job. And so they built a little room with an exterior entrance and exit. And that really blessed and touched Elijah. And he said to the woman, what can I do for you? What do you need? She said, nothing. You know, I'm just here to bless you. And his servant noticed they have no children. And so the way that she honored the man of God triggered a supernatural blessing that money couldn't buy. And he said, by this time next year, you will be holding a son in your arms. And so I believe that until we honor the men and the women of God in our lives, our pastors especially, that God can't really honor us, you know? We're supposed to treat them and honor them like Jesus was here preaching the word, right? The word is Jesus, and they are giving us Jesus in the physical, the word, amen, the revelation. So, you know, we are called to submit to a local church, a local body, and if you have been called to submit here, welcome. We love you. We love Pastor Stephen Jill. Seriously, I don't think you could find a better place because that's God's plan, to be in a family. When you're going through something tough, when you're sick, when you're going through a divorce or a death in the family or a loss, how does God take care of you? I mean, sure, yes, you can be ministered to by Him and His Spirit, but it's good to have people around you praying for you, believing with you, checking on you, and that is the purpose of the church. And God put our pastors over that, and they really do care about us. Amen. And so, you know, like I kind of said at the beginning, there's so many experiences and things that have happened to me personally with friends and connections all over the world because of these two and their obedience to God. And so I just want you to know, as you give and as you bless this church and become involved and submit to them and their leadership, God is going to bless you. That anointing and that favor, that doesn't just stay on them. That comes and reaches all of us, and our lives are changed and affected. My life has been totally blessed and honored because of them. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, make sure that you show your deep appreciation for those who cherish you and diligently work as ministers among you. Pastor Stephen Jill cherish us, and they diligently work to bless us. For they are your leaders who care for you, who teach you, and who stand before the Lord on your behalf. So can we give a hand clap for Pastor Stephen Jill? I mean, the spiritual covering and the protection that we have just because of them and being under this spiritual covering is priceless. You know, those MasterCard commercials, it's priceless, okay? So today, let's honor them. There's little envelopes, or you can do online. I believe there's even a pastor appreciation tab in all our apps. You can give Cash App or Venmo, or on the website, ascendchurch.us. There's all kinds of ways to give. You can text give. And or even maybe you want to buy them a massage. Maybe you are a massage therapist and you want to bless them. Maybe you want to take them out to lunch. Maybe you want to write them a note and tell them how much they mean to you, because we don't tell the people in our life enough how much they mean to us, right? We want to make sure that we're always telling and giving and blessing people who bless us. So thank you for your generosity today. I know that God is going to touch you as we honor the men and the women of God in our life. God is going to honor us and make sure that we are taken care of, make sure that you are taken care of. Amen? All right, so get your little envelopes, and God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison. That's so sweet, and thank you, Jen and Joey. That was very moving, very moving. We really appreciate it. You know, the Bible says I love the house of God. The Bible says those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. And Pastor Stephen, our prayer and our desire is that you flourish. That you flourish in your families, in every area of your life, that you flourish. Amen. And it's all part of being in the house of God. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to move along quickly. Sorry we're taking a little time this morning, but I just want to welcome those. You can move this. You can take this off. Thanks. Thank you. It feels weird. We used to have a pulpit here all the time, right? Thanks, Tom. Welcome to those that are watching online. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're glad you've joined us this morning. Welcome to each and every one of you that are in church today. Our prayer is that you receive everything that it is you need from the Lord today. And we especially want to welcome our online audience that are watching from all over the world. There are people that are watching on Facebook and that'll watch. We put it on all different mediums. But go ahead and share that if you're watching today. Let somebody else sitting at home receive the Word of God. And I want to welcome every person who's visiting for the first time today. If you have never been to a service at our church and maybe someone invited you, we'd just like to honor you. We have a gift basket, a bag we'd like to give you. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just wave your hand that we can hand a bag to you right where you're sitting? Anyone here for the first time today? I don't see any hands. Okay. Well, we'll move along. Just want to let you know, is there somebody over there? Thank you. I know. Who wants to raise their hand when they're visiting somewhere for the first time, right? We just want to honor you. There's a couple of things. The one thing in there is a card that says guest. We ask you to take a moment and just fill that out. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. Just drop it in. Thank you for doing that. Those that are sitting in church, we pass a clipboard by. Thanks for filling that in and just helping us keep updated on who's here and who we need to get in touch with. So thanks for doing that. I want to, if you don't get our regular text, text the word ASCEND to 313131, and we send out something to do with the message every week or special announcements. So thanks for doing that. The various ways that you can connect with us, and it's in that visitor card, is on our mobile app, which has got a whole lot of resources, on YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter, Facebook, Ascend Church Jupiter, and go ahead and just watch us on any of those things. It's easy for you to follow up and watch the messages you missed or share messages that you want to. And I just want to end this by saying, reminding you of the four purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God. The second one is that you would find freedom. The third one, that you would discover your purpose. And lastly, that you would make a difference with your life. Amen. How many of you are ready for the Word of God this morning? We're ready for the Word of God.
Amen.
You're going to preach a message that I could hear every week. A subject, should I say.
Thank you, babe. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It is good to see you today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. You know, just something interesting. Pastor Jill sent this to me last night, and I just thought, find this fascinating. I'm talking to the dads. I'm talking to fathers right now. And it says, this is someone, Nathan Finocchio, on Instagram. He's a minister. He said, if a child is the first in the family to become a Christian, there's a 3.7% probability that the rest of the family will become Christians. If the mom is the first in the family to become a Christian, there is a 17% probability that the rest of the family will follow. If the dad is the first in the family to become a Christian, there is a 93% probability that everyone else in the family will follow his lead. Let me tell you, there is no substitute for a father who leads his family in the things of God. It says here in a... Where's the next one I wanted to read? If both father and mother attend church regularly, 33% of their children will end up as regular churchgoers, and 41% will end up attending church irregularly. Only a quarter of their children will end up not practicing at all. If the father is irregular and the mother is a regular churchgoer, only 3% of the children will subsequently become regular themselves, while a further 50% will become irregular. If the father is non-practicing and the mother is regular, only 2% of their children will become regular worshipers, and 37% will attend church irregularly. Over 60% of their children will be lost completely to the church. Let us look at the figures the other way around. What happens if the father is regular but the mother irregular or non-practicing? Extraordinarily, the percentage of children becoming regular churchgoers goes up from 33% to 38% with the irregular mother and 44% with the non-practicing, as if loyalty to the father's commitment grows in proportion to the mother's indifference or hostility. It says here, mothers aren't fathers when it comes to spiritual leadership. They don't have the same weight. Men need to lead homes and churches spiritually. According to the Swiss study, children were more likely to attend church if it was just their dad than compared to both mom and dad attending. This doesn't mean women shouldn't lead, preach, and pastor. It means that every church needs a spiritual father. Every home needs one too. I applaud every single mother because they are doing their best amid tragedy. Our society and many of our churches are blaming, forgetting, ignoring, ostracizing their greatest asset, men. It is the great era of our day. So I just thought that was very powerful. I wanted to share that with you, especially to the dads. Let me tell you the best thing that you can do, the best thing I did for my children. Now, I became a father at 19. I was 19 years old when Robin was born. And the best thing that I ever did was took him to church every single Sunday. Because every one of my kids are serving the Lord. Every one of my kids are in ministry, really. I mean, Robin's full-time ministry, Luke's full-time ministry, Courtney's full-time ministry, and Nadine's very involved here at the church. So they're all involved, and I really want to encourage the dads to be the example to your family. You want your children to be in church every Sunday? You better be in church every Sunday. Your kids don't do what you say. They do what you do. Can you say amen, somebody? Someone says, Pastor Steve, I still love you. Amen. Thank you to our worship team doing a great job today. We so appreciate you. Give them a big round of applause. Won't you do that? Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Father, that you are faithful, that you are good, that we can trust in you. Thank you, Lord, that you guide us in our life. You direct us. You direct our path. Lord, today, as I share your word, as I teach your word, I thank you for enabling me, anointing me. Thank you that you use me, you speak through me today. Thank you for bringing revelation, understanding to every person here today, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, today I want to speak to you about let God guide you. Let God guide you. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, trust in the Lord completely. Do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. The Bible says we shouldn't trust in our own wisdom. We should trust in all our heart for God to guide us. God wants to guide you. He's got a plan, He's got a destiny for your life, and He wants to guide you into it. Amen? Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. Don't be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit in its mouth to keep it in line. And the Passion Bible says, I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing you, guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've not been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me. The truth is God wants to guide you, but can I tell you, you have to let Him guide you. There are two main ways that God guides you. Number one, God guides you by His Word, by the Bible, the Word of God. The Scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. God's Word is a lamp to guide us. And the Passion Bible says, truth shining light guides me in my choices and decisions. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. So that's why it's so important to read your Bible. Because every time I read the Bible, God always gives me some kind of guidance. God guides you through His Word. That's why you really need to make the Word of God the highest authority in your life. Amen? Jesus said in John 17, your word is truth. Let me tell you, the Word of God is the truth. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what they teach you in school. I don't care what the news media says. I don't care what your college professor says. The Word of God is the truth. And anything that contradicts it is a lie. John 8:47, Jesus said, if you really knew God, you would listen, receive, and respond with faith to His words. But since you don't listen and respond to what He says, it proves that you don't belong to Him and you have no room for Him in your heart. Do you know what proves that you know God? You follow God's word and you live your life by what the Word of God says. That proves that you know God. Say amen, somebody. The Message Bible says anyone on God's side listens to God's words. That's why you're not listening, because you're not on God's side. If someone is not listening to the Word of God, they're not on God's side. When you allow God's Word to guide you, you are being guided by God. When you follow, when you read the Word of God and it says, you know, there's a million things it says. Tithe, how about that one? Because that's what a lot of people have a hard time with. You talk about anything else, you talk about their money. Oh, my goodness me. The demons start manifesting. When God is guiding you, you will do what His Word says, no questions asked. The second way that God guides you, the first way God guides you is by His Word. The second way He guides you is by the Holy Spirit. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Say, the Holy Spirit guides me, speaks to me, and tells me things to come. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. You don't have to go through your life guessing what to do. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you and guide you in every decision of your life. In Romans 8:14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And the contemporary English version says, only those people who are led by God's Spirit are His children. That's a pretty powerful statement. It says, only those people who are led by God's Spirit are really His children. Only those, that is strong, only those who let God's, the Holy Spirit guide them are really His children. Galatians 5:16 says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. When you let the Holy Spirit guide you, you won't do what your flesh wants to do. Say amen, somebody. The Living Bible says, I advise you to obey the Holy Spirit's instructions. He will tell you where to go, and He will tell you what to do, and then you won't always be doing the wrong things that your evil nature wants to do. If we just were to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us every day in our life, He will tell you where to go, He'll tell you what to do, and you won't do the things you shouldn't do. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you if you'll let Him. Many Christians don't know how to recognize when the Holy Spirit is guiding them. Because what has happened, the Holy Spirit has been trying to guide you, and he's been speaking to you, but you didn't realize. You thought, oh, that's just, you know, some kind of thought out of the blue. Like maybe you had a thought to phone somebody. Maybe something just tells you, you should call this person. And you think it's you, but it's God telling you. Because then you call them up and you find out they really needed you to call them. That happened to me last night. I felt the Lord tell me, call this person. And I called him, and it was like, God, that was you. Because they needed me to call. The problem is not trying to get God to guide you. You need to be able to recognize when the Holy Spirit is guiding you. Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of every believer. He's there to guide you. He's there to lead you. He's there to help you make the right decisions. And if you're going to fulfill God's destiny for your life and the plan that He has for your life, you've got to be sensitive to hear what God is saying to you, to follow the Holy Spirit's guidance. Because He wants to guide you in your life, in your family, in your career, in your ministry, in your future, in relationships, in every area. And we all need God's guidance in every area of our life. I mean, I want to know, is this the right place I'm working? Is this where God wants me to work? Is this the right job? Is this the right career? This business proposition I've been offered, should I go ahead? Is this the right decision to make? I think I'm in love with this, but is this the right person for me? I mean, I'm thinking of moving, Pastor Steve, to another city, but is that where God wants me to be? I'm facing a problem. How do I handle it? Where should I be involved? What has God called me to do in His kingdom? These are all things we need God's guidance in. Would you like to know how to be led by the Holy Spirit? How to recognize His guidance and His voice? Because you can. The problem is not God's not speaking to you. Someone said, Pastor Steve, God doesn't guide me. No, that's not the problem. The problem is that you don't recognize His voice and His guidance when He does. Because God can speak in a spectacular way. God can speak to you in an audible voice. You could have an angel that appeared to you. Or you could have a vision. Or you could have a dream. That can happen. You know, God spoke to Joseph in a dream in the Bible and showed him all his brothers bowing down before him. And that ended up coming true. And Mary's husband, you know, many years later, her husband was also named Joseph. And he had a dream warning that he must take Jesus and flee to Egypt because King Herod was trying to kill all the little baby boys. God warned them God warned the wise men in a dream not to tell King Herod where Jesus was. And the scripture says in Acts 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So God can speak to you in a vision. God can speak to you in a dream. You could have a spectacular way that God speaks to you, but primarily, the way the Holy Spirit speaks to you 99% of the time is down here in your own spirit, in your own heart. That's where God guides you 99% of the time. The scripture says in Proverbs 20, verse 27, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. In other words, God uses your spirit to guide you. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. Remember we said that the word of God is a lamp to our feet? Well, in the same way, when the Bible says the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, that means that's how God brings you light and guidance and direction is in your spirit. It's not going to come to your head. God doesn't guide you through your mind. It doesn't come through your emotions. This guidance comes through your spirit, down on the inside. That's where God guides you. That's where He speaks to you. You see, you are a tripart being. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live inside of a body. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. You are spirit, you have a soul, you live inside of a body. And the way that the Holy Spirit guides you is in your spirit person. There's three ways that the Holy Spirit guides you in your spirit. So the first thing I want you to get is that God guides you by His Word. Secondly, God guides you by His Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit, when He guides you, He guides you in your spirit. Then when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and guides you in your spirit, there's three ways that he'll do it. Number one is by what the Bible calls the inward witness. Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons or these are the children of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How do you know you're a child of God? How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're going to heaven? Because the Holy Spirit bears witness down in your heart. The Living Bible says, for his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we really are God's children. The number one most common way that the Holy Spirit guides you and leads you is by the same inward witness. The same witness that the Holy Spirit tells you that you're a child of God, that's the same witness that he'll guide you in every other area of your life. He gives you an inward witness or an inward knowing. When the Holy Spirit is guiding you to do something by this inward witness, you will experience on the inside in your spirit, you will experience like an inward knowing or an inward prompting or an inward urge to do something or maybe an excitement on the inside or you have a hunch, like some people call it an inward intuition, or the Bible talks about letting the peace of God guide you. You'll have a peace. You'll have a rest. You'll have a knowing. You'll have an excitement on the inside of you. The scripture says in Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, the Passion Bible says it like this. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One. Let your heart always be guided by the peace of the Anointed One. In other words, if you are considering making a decision and you don't have peace about it, that's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you, don't do it. The Amplified Bible says it like this. Let peace act as an umpire, continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. The Bible says the peace of God, I should let it be like an umpire. Now, we all know what an umpire does. An umpire guides the game. An umpire decides if it's safe, if it's out, if it's in, if it's out, if it's yes, if it's no. The umpire is the one who calls the shots. And this is saying that the peace of God should be an umpire. It should be the deciding factor when it comes to decisions we make. If we don't have the peace of God in our heart, don't do it, because that's God trying to tell you not to do it. In other words, how do I feel in my heart about this situation? Do I have peace in my heart, or do I have an unrest, an uneasiness in my heart? Because this can help you in your everyday life. How many times do people do things that they didn't have peace about and then they regret it and they realize, I never had peace about that in the first place? How many people get into a relationship that they didn't have peace about? They ignore those alarm bells again and again. Now they regret it. Don't override what you're feeling down in here. Let the peace of God act as an umpire in your life. When the Holy Spirit is guiding you and telling you by that inward witness not to do something, instead of having peace, you will have a hesitancy. You'll have a heaviness. You'll have an uneasiness, an unrest, an agitation. Something just doesn't feel right. That's simply the witness of the Holy Spirit trying to tell you, don't do it. Are you with me? When you feel an uneasiness, when you feel an unrest, it's not God trying to keep something from you. It's God trying to protect you because he's got something better in store. So let's not be hard-headed and have to have it our own way in our own timing, and then we end up regretting it. If we just listened to God, we could have avoided it. When the Apostle Paul was being taken by ship to Rome, he was going to stand before Caesar, and he told the soldiers who were transporting him, he was on a ship. In Acts 27:10, Paul said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Not only of the lading and the ship, but also our lives. Paul said, I perceive there's danger ahead. How did he perceive that? By the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul tried to get them to delay the trip. He tried to get them to delay that trip. Remember that time, Bill, you were going to Turkey and you had an uneasiness. You just didn't feel peace. And you delayed the trip, and there was a bombing at the airport where you would have been arriving the very same time they had that bomb in Turkey. That was the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. But you see, they didn't listen to Paul. And sure enough, they encountered a huge storm. But because Paul prayed, God spared their lives. They lost the ship. They lost the cargo. They landed up on the island of Malta. But everyone was saved because Paul prayed. One time when Jesus was preaching, he was in somebody's home and the place was packed. No one could get inside, and four men brought their paralyzed friend. They wanted Jesus to heal him. They couldn't get him, so they lowered their friend through the roof. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the religious leaders who were present, they were reasoning about it in their heart, and they were thinking, how can he say that? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Well, guess who Jesus is? But they didn't understand that. So they thought it was blasphemy. And the Bible says in Mark 2 verse 8, immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning thus within themselves, he said to them, how did Jesus perceive in his spirit that they were reasoning about what he said? The Holy Spirit, by the inward witness, that's how he knew. Isn't that amazing? And so he said to the people, what is easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven you, or get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And the man was instantly healed right in front of them. The first and number one way that the Holy Spirit guides you is by this inward witness. The second way that the Holy Spirit guides and speaks to you is by the still, small voice of your own spirit. Do you know that your spirit has a voice? How many of you know your body has a voice? Pinch it. Feeling. Nothing more than feelings. That's the voice of your body, feeling. Your mind has a voice. It's called reason. Your spirit has a voice. And it's called your conscience. Your conscience is that still, small voice on the inside of you. That's the voice of your spirit speaking to you. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit, and your spirit picks up information and direction from the Holy Spirit, and then your spirit communicates to you by the small inner voice of your conscience. And you see, so often we're looking for God to speak to us in some spectacular way or some physical way. But usually that's not how he speaks to you. God speaks to your spirit in a still, small voice. In 1 Kings 19, it says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a still, small voice, and that was God. You see, so often we're looking for the earthquake. We're looking for the fire. We're looking for the spectacular. But that's not how God speaks to you most of the time. He speaks to you supernaturally, but not always spectacularly. Supernaturally down here, that still, small voice of your conscience. The Apostle Paul said that he lived by his conscience and that he obeyed his conscience. In Acts 23, verse 1, Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. What does that mean? It means that he follows his conscience, that he obeys his conscience. In fact, in Romans 9, verse 1, he said, I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. My conscience is bearing witness with the Holy Spirit. The Living Bible says my conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. You see, it will help you to become familiar with that small, still, inward voice of your spirit by understanding it's the same small voice that convicts us when we do something that is wrong. When we commit a sin, how many of you know you feel on the inside, you feel that guilt, that conviction? That's your own conscience speaking to you. Do you remember the story when they brought the woman who was caught in the act of adultery and they threw her down before Jesus? They were trying to trap Jesus. They told him, the law of Moses says she must be stoned, and they wanted to know, what do you say, Jesus? And Jesus said to them, he that is without sin, throw the first stone. Jesus started writing in the dust. And the scripture says in John chapter 8, verse 9, then those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and he saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You see, Jesus doesn't want us to sin, but he doesn't condemn us. He's there to lift us up when we fall down. He's there to lift us up again and encourage us. That's the goodness and the mercy of God. That's who he is. The Bible says the people, when Jesus told them, okay, the one without sin, throw the first stone, they were convicted by their own conscience. Do you know it is your own conscience that convicts you when you sin? That's why the Bible says we must keep a tender conscience. The Apostle Paul warns against searing your conscience. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, it says, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And the J.B. Phillips translation says, whose conscience is as dead as seared flesh, it's no longer sensitive, and it has no more feeling. Do you know, just like you can sear your flesh so that it's no longer sensitive, have you ever drunk maybe a hot drink, maybe a hot coffee, or hot soup, and it was so hot, and it seared your mouth, and you kind of lost a little bit of sensitivity. You couldn't taste so good for a little while. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Do you know you can do the same thing to your conscience, where your conscience is not sensitive anymore? You can sear your conscience to the place where you're not sensitive to it, where you can't hear it anymore, and that's dangerous. How do you sear your conscience? By continually ignoring conviction and continually disobeying what your conscience. If your conscience convicts you, no, don't do that, and you ignore it. And then don't do that, you ignore it. And you convict, don't do it. And over and over, and you keep ignoring it, and you keep ignoring it. And you eventually, you won't feel guilty anymore. You come to a place where you don't feel guilty. And that's a dangerous place to be, because that means you've now seared your conscience. And that means once your conscience is seared, that means you won't be able to hear the voice of your spirit. It's like breaking the... Remember the days we had aerials on our car? The long antennas? Imagine breaking that. You wouldn't be able to hear the radio anymore. It's the same way. It's dangerous to sear your conscience because you cut yourself off from hearing the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So it's very important to keep a tender conscience. If your conscience convicts you, immediately repent. Immediately correct it. When you say something wrong to your wife, which I've done many times, and immediately my conscience convicts me, and sometimes it takes me a while to say I'm sorry, I should immediately say, a moment I feel that, I'm sorry. Don't wait 2 days. Amen, everybody. Immediately repent. The Bible says in Acts 24, verse 16, Paul said, I always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and toward men. I want a clear conscience where God is concerned and where people are concerned. If I've sinned against the Lord, I immediately, I don't wait 5 days. I immediately, It doesn't, even when I feel guilty, and even when the devil tells me, how can you ask God to forgive you? You just did that. I don't care if I just did it right now. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry that I did that. And I want to keep a clear conscience toward God, and I want a clear conscience toward people. If I offend people, I want to make it right. You've got to keep your spirit tender and your conscience clear if you want to be guided by the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's most important to me. Amen? The third way that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and guide you in your spirit is by the inward voice of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit spoke to a man named Philip and told him to go minister to a man who was riding in his chariot who worked for Queen Candace of Ethiopia. He was actually her treasurer, her accountant, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way back home. He was reading the book of Isaiah, but he didn't understand what he was reading. And so in Acts 8:29, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go and walk alongside the chariot. And Philip went and walked alongside the chariot and started ministering to the man, eventually led the man to Jesus and then baptized him. Now, the Holy Spirit can speak directly to your spirit. And there's a difference between the inward voice of the Holy Spirit and the still small voice of your own spirit or your conscience. There's a difference. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you directly in your heart, it is very authoritative. It actually may seem like it's audible. You might turn around, who said that? It will seem like it's audible. When the Lord spoke to the prophet Samuel when he was just a young boy, he didn't realize it was God. He thought it was his mentor. He thought it was Eli. And the scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it came to pass at the time when Eli was lying down in his place and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he couldn't see, and before the lamp of the Lord went out in the tabernacle of God that where the ark was, while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And so he ran and said, here I am, for you called me. He ran to Eli and he said, I didn't call you. Go lie down again. And he went and laid down. And then the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose, and he went to Eli, and he said, here I am, you called me. He said, I didn't call you, my son. Go lie down again. And Samuel didn't yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord was not yet revealed to him. He was just a young boy. And so the Lord himself called Samuel a third time. Samuel. And then he arose, he went to Eli, and said, here I am, you called me. He thought Eli was calling him. But then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. And so Eli said, Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you, you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood again as other times, and he said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said unto Samuel. Sometimes, let me tell you, when God speaks, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and guides you by the inward voice, if he speaks directly to your spirit, you might look around to see who said that. Now, my wife has heard the inward voice of the Holy Spirit a number of occasions in her life. When the Lord called us to start the church in Cape Town, we were 27 years old. I had an inward witness. I just knew it. I had this knowing. I said, I feel God's calling us to start a church. And she said, when? I didn't realize she'd already heard God spoke to her by that inward voice. She was. I don't know if you were praying one day or you were vacuuming and you heard the word. She heard the word Muizenberg, like someone said it out loud. Muizenberg. That's the name of a town. And then she said, Lord, if that's you, you know, say it, tell me again. And a few days later, same thing. She heard Muizenberg. It happened three times. Now, I didn't hear that audible voice, but down on the inside, I had this inward witness that we got to go start a church. And when she said to me, where do you think we should start the church? Because she knew Muizenberg, she heard it. We took out the map of South Africa, and we looked at the map. And I said, it's somewhere here. And my finger was pointed to Muizenberg. And then she told me what she heard. That's how the Lord sometimes worked with us. It was like a confirmation. When God called us to start the church here in the United States, we were driving on the I-95 going from Orlando to Miami. And as we went past the Marriott Hotel on PGA Avenue, right on the left-hand side of the I-95, Jill was reading her book. We were going to catch a flight. And she heard that inward voice of the Holy Spirit. Like I'm talking to you now. Is that right? Like audible. And she heard the Lord say, you're going to start a church here. And she looked up. And there it said, Palm Beach Gardens, as we drove by. She didn't tell me that. She wrote it down on a piece of paper. And a number of months later, we were talking. I was talking to Pastor Theo. And I said, I just sense in my heart the Lord's calling me to start a church in the United States. And then she told me what she heard God say. And we started the church at the Palm Beach Gardens High School. Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit can speak to you directly like that, but most often, He will guide you the other two ways, by the inward witness. That's the number one way God, the Holy Spirit, guides you, is by that inward witness. It's like a knowing on the inside. It's like a certainty on the inside. It's like a prompting, a suggestion. It may not make sense to your mind. Your emotions may tell you everything. Your emotions may disagree, but deep down in your heart, you know it's the right thing to do. Jesus said in Revelation 2, verse 7, anyone with ears to hear must listen and understand what the Spirit is saying. You see, you got to listen to what the Spirit is saying. It's not that God's not speaking to us. It's that often we don't recognize His voice when He does speak. And if you're going to follow God's guidance, you've got to have your ears tuned to the right frequency. There are hundreds of radio frequencies in the air right now where we are sitting. There are hundreds of television signals going through the air right now. Why aren't we receiving them? Because we don't have a tuner. All you got to do is get a radio and tune it to the right frequency, and you would hear what's being broadcast on that channel. I'm asking you to make sure to keep your spiritual ears tuned to what God is saying and leading you down in your heart. Don't go through life with all this inside information available, but you never tap into it, because you're on the wrong frequency. You only listen to your mind, or you only listen to your emotions, or what other people are telling you. Listen, that's okay, but there's another frequency. There's a higher power, and God is constantly transmitting and giving you guidance and giving you direction. The question is, do you have your receiver tuned in? You got to get quiet, and you got to be sensitive to what you're feeling down here in your spirit. It's not going to be a loud, booming voice. It's just going to be an impression. Down on the inside, suddenly an idea comes up out of nowhere. Or you got a desire to go check on your children. Or you got a prompting to go to a certain place or call a certain person. It's like a suggestion came up. And if you're not sensitive, you'll just dismiss it. And you'll think, oh, that's just me, man. I'm just daydreaming again. That's how we miss God's guidance in our life. Romans 8, verse 14 says, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit will give you information about your career. He'll give you ideas for business. He can give you an idea for witty inventions. The scripture says in Proverbs 8:12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. One time, Tom Cartwright, they're not here today, but he was sitting on his porch up in Stuart. And God gave him, he had an idea to make a fan blade. He was looking at the palm trees and he had an idea to make a fan blade that looked like a palm leaf. And he never made a fan blade, didn't know anything about fan blades, but he went on, had the idea patented. Long story short, that fan blade ended up becoming the most successful, biggest selling fan blade in the history of the fan blade industry. Let me tell you, God can give you one idea that makes you millions of dollars. God can give you inside information about your children. He can show you things that you normally wouldn't have known. Are you with me? My kids say when they were growing up, they couldn't get away with anything because God would show us. God would lead us. God would tell us things. Like in 2 Kings, where I love the story when the Syrian army were making war against Israel. And every time they made a move, the Israelites knew it. And they would beat them there. If the Syrians planned to attack from the north, the Israelites would be there waiting. If they planned to sneak up in the middle of the night, the Israelites would be prepared and waiting. No matter what the Syrian army do, the Israelites seemed to be one step ahead. And the Syrian king got so frustrated, he thought there must be a traitor in his army. Someone was leaking information to the Israelites. And one of the captains spoke up in 2 Kings chapter 6, and he said, no, my master, king, it's not any of us. It's Elisha the prophet in Israel. He tells the king of Israel everything you say, even what you whisper in your bedroom. Let me tell you, we have an advantage. if we'll be sensitive to what we're hearing down here in our spirit, let me tell you, God will not only protect you from danger, He'll tell you what your enemy's going to do. You talk about having the upper hand. If someone's trying to block you at the office, talk bad about you, ruin your reputation, they think they're putting up a barrier, but what they don't realize is God has already shown you how to go around it. You're always one step ahead of them. Are you with me? I'm telling you, if you'll stay tuned to the right frequency, you will have insight to know things that you normally wouldn't know. You'll have an intuition. You'll have an impression. Sometimes you feel it just down here in your heart. You can't explain it. It doesn't make any sense. It's just a knowing on the inside. It's the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Someone says to you, how do you know that's the right thing to do? How do you know that's going to happen? You say, I don't know. I just know. I don't have any data backing me up. I don't have 10 years of research, but I've got the Spirit of the Most High God in me. I've got a counselor, a helper, an advisor, a researcher. I'm tuned to a frequency that gives me inside information. Can you say amen? Let me tell you, being guided by the Holy Spirit, it is critical to who you marry. I became a Christian when I was 15, so did Jill. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Well, Jill got saved about the same time I did. And we'd gone to school together from the second grade, and I went and moved to another school, and she came to visit the church that I got saved at, Christian Family Church. It was having a youth service, and I saw her come walking in, and I went up and started talking to her, and invited her to come. The youth were going on a youth camp, and I said, I invited her to come. And we went on this youth camp. And one night I was walking to the restroom, and so we were staying in these tents in this camp out in the mountains, and you had to go to they had an ablution block where you had restroom and shower and all that, and I was going to brush my teeth, get ready to go to bed, and I was walking along this path out there in the bush, and it was dark. I had my flashlight, and I was walking along the path, and suddenly I had this impression, I had this leading, I had this something telling me to get off the path, and I got off the path, and I started walking through the bush, the boondocks, as we call it, and it was dark, and Jill, suddenly, I saw Jill. I almost fell over. I almost fell on top of her. She was sitting out there in the middle of the bush, and I said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm praying, and what happened is she'd been praying, and the Lord said to her, Steve is the guy for you, and she said, Lord, if that's you, you got to tell him. Now, you got to realize we're 16 years old. If that's you, you're going to tell him. And I'm walking along the path, going to the restroom, and all of a sudden, something tells me, get off the path, and I'm going through the boondocks, and I almost fall over her. And I said, what are you doing? She says, I'm praying. I said to her, I just had the strangest feeling that you and I are supposed to be together. That's how we started dating. She went and broke up with her boyfriend. I broke up with my girlfriend. We started dating. We were married 2 years later. Next month, we're married 39 years. Being guided by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We were teenagers. We were brand new Christians. And God was guiding us and speaking to us, even though we didn't really realize it at the time. Shortly after that, I started working out, exercising with Pastor Theo. I bumped into him at the gym one day, and he said, let's work out together. And so one day we were working out, and the Lord spoke to me down in my heart, in that still small voice. And he said, I want you to stick to Theo like glue. I want you to stick to him like glue. I didn't realize it, but God was guiding me into the destiny he had for my life. Because I didn't know the Lord had already spoken to Pastor Theo before he spoke to me. And said, I want you to mentor and disciple Steve, because I've called him to the ministry. I ended up working for Pastor Theo for 7 years. I was in his church for 12 years until the Lord spoke to Jill and I to go start a church in Cape Town, as I told you. Again, I heard that still small voice inside, the still small inner voice of my spirit that guided me to go down to Cape Town. And Jill heard God's audible voice. She heard it again telling us to come to America. But God doesn't guide her like that all the time. So much of what has happened in my life has been because I was guided by the Holy Spirit. I was guided by that inward witness. I was guided by that still small voice. I was guided by the Word of God. When I was 18 years old, I was working as a salesman at a company called Lifestyle Cane in, in Johannesburg, and our store was in a mall. It was a real upmarket area. And one day I was walking through the mall, and I saw a man setting up a furniture display in the center of the mall, and something on the inside of me told me, go talk to him. What was it? It was the still small voice of my spirit said to me, go speak to that man. And in those days, I was much more shy than I am now. And I wouldn't just go up and talk to strangers. Today, I would talk to anybody. I lost that shyness, gone and never coming back. But I took this big step of faith and went up and introduced myself to this man. And it turned out his name was Norman Backhaus. And he was one of the Backhaus brothers. And they owned a number of different furniture stores in South Africa. Today, they have like an empire. I mean, I don't know if they're billionaires, but they are huge in South Africa. Now, one of his salesmen, this is like 30 years ago or more, 37 years ago, 38 years ago, one of his salesmen had resigned, and we got talking, found out he's a Christian, I'm a Christian. He said, why don't you come and I want to interview you with you. So I went for a job interview the next day, and they offered me the job. They doubled my salary. My salary doubled just like that. Let me tell you, it pays to follow God. It pays to follow His guidance. Amen? I remember we got our first house. We were gonna buy this piece of land, and we were going to build our first home, first-time homeowners, and we're going to build this little tiny home. And we were about to sign the contract on the lot, but I had a check in my spirit, in my heart. I had a hesitancy. I didn't feel was an uncertainty, and I didn't know why. But the next day, we decided we're not going to sign the contract. And a week later, we heard about this new development that was much closer to where I worked and where we lived. And the moment we went and looked at it, we stepped on the land, I had the witness on the inside. I just knew this is where God wants us to build the house. I realized then why I didn't have a peace about the other piece of land, because I had the peace of God, I had that witness. What I didn't know was that first lot of land that we were considering buying became overcome by squatters. Do you know what squatters are? Do you know what squatters are? That's when people just come and they just put up a tent right next to your house. And there were thousands and thousands of squatters. What happened is property prices in that area plummeted. You couldn't give your house away. But that second neighborhood where we bought the lot, it became an upmarket neighborhood. We had all these huge homes all around us. We had this little tiny house surrounded by all these mansions. And when we sold our house 2 years later, we made a 65% profit in 2 years. It pays to be led by the Holy Spirit. It pays to be guided. How did I know that? I was tuned to the right frequency. I followed that impression down in my spirit, down in my heart. It didn't make sense in my mind. But if you'll follow that still small voice, God will lead you down the best pathway for your life. You'll come across supernatural opportunities. There'll be times you make decisions that don't make a lot of sense in the natural, but deep down you know it's the right thing for you to do. Because let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is alive on the inside of every believer. You have an advantage. If you will be sensitive, God will give you insight to things that you wouldn't normally know. God will give you wisdom to help other people. He'll give you wisdom to solve difficult problems. He'll give you discernment to know right from wrong. He'll give you discernment to see through a phony, to know what is really true. This is important when it comes to relationships, because let me tell you, I've found that people are not always who they say they are. How they appear to be on the outside doesn't always match up to who they are on the inside. And if you'll listen to God, God will give you discernment. He'll give you the ability to see through phoniness or someone who has ulterior motives. I've met people immediately I felt good about them. I only knew them 10 minutes and I felt good. But something, you know, bore witness. And then there's other people I've met. They seem as nice as can be, friendly as can be, but for some reason, I'm not comfortable. I don't have a witness in my heart. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something that's just not right. Doesn't mean they're not a good person. It just means they're not right for me. And I've learned to just back off. That's God giving me discernment. He's giving me wisdom. He's guiding me to make the right decisions, the right choices. You won't always understand why you feel a certain way. You may not be able to explain it. It may not make sense to your mind. But listen, don't try to figure it out. Just trust what God is saying to you. He knows what is best for you. Can you say amen? Amen. God's the only one who knows what people are really like. He can see through the exterior down into a person's heart. And not everyone who appears to be nice and kind are all they appear to be. Some people have ulterior motives. And if you'll be sensitive, God will warn you about people like that. You'll feel an alarm down inside your spirit. An unrest. What is that? That's God trying to guide you. But you've got to do your part. And you've got to, don't go against what you're sensing in your heart. That's God guiding you and speaking to you. And too often we just ignore it when the alarm goes off. We push it down again and again. And usually it's because we want our own way, because we think this is the best way to do it. But God's ways are better than our ways, higher than our ways. And He sees the big picture for your life. He can see the dead end around the corner that you can't see. He knows what's going to cause heartache and pain. He can see the shortcuts that'll get you somewhere quicker. He sees the big picture. And God has your best interest at heart. That opportunity may look great, but if you've got unrest down in your spirit, it means God's got something better for you. You say, Pastor Steve, I really like this guy I'm dating, man. He's so good looking. He's got a good personality. He makes good money. He's just right for me. That's great. If you've got peace in your spirit, go ahead. But if you have unrest, uneasiness, a check in your heart, it's easy to brush it off, think you're being overly sensitive about it. But let me tell you, it may seem like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm never going to meet someone like this again, Pastor Steve. If you're not careful, you'll push that alarm down, and that's what gets us off of God's best pass for our life. You've got to realize God's not trying to take anything from you. God's not trying to make your life miserable. It's just the opposite. God's trying to protect you from heartache and from pain. Are you with me? I've talked to person after person who've gone down, you know, way down the road in a relationship they didn't feel good about, and they end up hurt, disappointed, waste valuable years, and they tell me again and again, Pastor Steve, at the very beginning, I didn't have a peace about it. I knew in my heart something wasn't right, but I went ahead anyway. What happened? God was trying to guide them, but they got so caught up in the excitement of it, and they overrode what they felt down in their spirit, and they missed God's guidance. God wants to lead us and guide us, but let me tell you, He's not going to drag you. He's not going to force you. You have to let God lead you. And if you'll be sensitive, God will always give you a warning before you make a mistake. That alarm will go off. There'll be unrest. When you feel it, be wise enough to step back, slow down, pay attention to what God is saying down in your spirit. Are you with me? I want you to go out of here knowing that you have divine guidance. You have a counselor. You have an advisor. You have a helper living on the inside of you. It's the Spirit of the Most High God. Don't override what you sense. God's talking to you. He knows what is best for you. Listen. Follow Him. When you've got a decision to make, let peace be the umpire. If you'll follow that inward witness, God will lead you and guide you down the best path for your life. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, let me tell you, it will always agree with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into do anything that disagrees with God's Word. In 1 John 5, verse 7, I'm going to kind of wrap up with this. It says, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. The Father and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God all agree. God will never tell you to do something that disagrees with His written Word. Don't accept anything if it disagrees with what the Word of God says. If you'll let the Holy Spirit lead you, let me tell you, He will take you into some explosive blessings that thrust you to a new level in your life. The Scripture says in Psalm 95, verse 7, for we are the lovers He cares for, and He is the God we worship, so drop everything else and listen to His voice. Drop everything else and listen. What God says must be the most important thing. We must allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. The Holy Spirit speaks in our spirit. Amen. Say this with me. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are my guide. I do not trust in myself. I do not lean on my own reason. I rely on you to guide me with all of my heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak to me and you tell me things to come. I declare I am led by the Holy Spirit. I am guided by the Holy Spirit. I know His voice. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are leading me down the best pathway for my life. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm led by the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Did you get something out of this today? Well, come on. Give God thanks and give God praise. Bow your head for a moment, if you would. Bow your heads, if you would. Father, I pray for every person here today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've come to lead us. You've come to guide us. And I thank you, Lord, that even from this moment, from this day, that your people will hear and know your voice in a much surer way than they've ever known it before. I thank you for guiding and directing us, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us, for telling us things to come. In the name of Jesus. While you have your head bowed and while you have your eyes closed, I never like to close the service without giving people the opportunity to just make sure that everything is right and everything is well between you and God. And so if you're here this morning and you're not sure where you stand with the Lord, you're not sure if all is right between you and God, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest that, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you absolutely sure of where you would spend eternity? Because let me tell you the good news is you can be sure. You can walk out of here today knowing that all is right between you and God, knowing that every mistake and every sin you ever committed is forgiven and washed away. And you can know in your heart that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend eternity. Heaven is a real place. There's a heaven that awaits us, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're sitting, while our heads are bowed, while our eyes are closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, I'm asking you right now, just lift your hand up. Just slip your hand up high. Raise your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see a number of hands being raised. I want to ask everyone, if you raised your hand, please say this prayer with me. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone say this with me. Say, I thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you came to this earth and you died on a cross for me. You took my sin. I believe, Jesus, you've been raised from the dead. And I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I ask you, Jesus, come in my heart. Forgive me my sin. Save me, Lord. Today, I'm going to follow you. Say, I thank you because I have confessed you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If you raise your hand, I want to ask you just to remain in your chair for a couple of minutes after we close. We have a gift we want to get to you before you leave. One of our servant leaders is going to come and bring you a gift. So thank you so much. Thank you for everyone who invited someone to come to church today. Let me see your hand if you invited someone to come to church today. Just wave at me. Wave at me if you invited someone. Maybe they didn't come, but you invited them. Thank you for inviting that person. And I pray that every one of us will invite someone this week to come to church. Amen.
Amen.
Go for it, girl.
Good preaching, right? Man, that'll change your life. That'll change your life. Take those notes home with you. Read over them. Praise the Lord. You left a whole bunch out. Somebody said we need some new stories. I like our old stories. I like our old stories. I like stories that illustrate. But if you've got some good stories of being led by the Spirit, give them to us. I'm going to read you a quick story from somebody concerning the offering, because I love to hear testimonies. But at this time in the service, we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And for those that are watching and those are sitting here, there are various ways to give. They'll come up on the screen. There's envelopes right in the seat where you're sitting. And you can give online. Thank you. You can put that up there. Just show us different ways that you can give. Those that are watching, ascendchurch.us, you can give. And I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to read you a testimony. But in line with what Pastor Steve was saying, God leads us, and in the area of finances, two ways. First, by His Word, and then by His Spirit, right? So we always look and we always talk about what the Word of God says about giving. And like you say, finances are a touchy subject, because sometimes people look and they say, well, you know, if somebody asks me to give money, maybe they have an ulterior motive and they get nervous about things like this. But go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. So I'm going to read you one verse from the New Testament when it comes to tithing, and it's about Jesus. And Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 23, he was talking to the Pharisees who were hypocrites. And he said this to them. He said, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." Now, I like that whole thing. Even though Jesus was correcting them because they had their priorities wrong, he had an occasion right there to say, tithing falls away under the New Testament. He could have said, tithing's under the law, you don't have to do it anymore. But he said, you are people that know to tithe. Another translation says, on the last mint leaf in your garden. Therefore, what they were doing is that they would see that they got 10 mint leaves and they would give one. They were tithing with their mint leaves. They were so careful about it, but they were ignoring all other important aspects, love and mercy. But Jesus said, you should tithe. So there's our being led by the Word of God. We tithe because the Word of God teaches us to tithe. But the second aspect is that let God lead you, because there are ways that God, in the Bible says, give tithes and offerings. And I have seen over and over, I'm going to read you a quick testimony of somebody who, Stacy Buck, I texted her and I'm like, Stacy, you have so many stories. I know a number of other stories, but she gives over and above as she's led by the Spirit. And she's seen supernatural results. And I'm going to read it to you quickly just to encourage us. She said, several years ago, I was facing some financial challenges. She's got her own business. And, in your own business, there's nobody to turn to. She's a single woman, nobody to turn to. And she said, my bank account was just about empty. And several bills remained unpaid. At that time, the Lord directed me to sow an offering. Now, that sounds like something that God's directing you that doesn't make sense in your mind, right? I've got bills unpaid, and I don't have much in my bank account. He's leading me to sow an offering. Although my bank account indicated I could not afford to give an offering, but I sowed what I had. Less than 1 week later, a physician found me via an internet search, and he called my office to ask me an opinion on one case. By the end of the conversation, he had decided he wanted me to review a large sample of his past cases. Long story short, I made over $5,000 for less than two full days of work, and he paid me immediately, which never happens. Also, while I was working on his project, I received phone calls from two facilities requesting audits. The interesting thing is both of the facilities had contacted me several years prior, and I had provided proposals for them, but then I never heard anything back. Yet after several years, on the same day, they both contacted me and say they're finally ready to move forward and they want to sign a contract. Those two contracts together totaled $7,000. So in a matter of 2 weeks, God brought me a total of $12,000 after I had literally been down to nothing. I should also mention that I was tithing faithfully as well. Giving the tithe and sowing seed has never failed me, and I am in awe of the opportunities and increase God has proven to me time and time again. I don't need to exhaust myself and stress myself out chasing provision to make ends meet. I give God all the glory for my financial successes. I am so thankful for the times He has shown up big in my life. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? You know, God cares about your financial situation. He cares, and He has the way out. He has the direction for you to take. So let Him lead you when it comes to giving. Amen? So let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank You for each person. Thank You, Father. You know every situation. I know people that are facing financial deadlines this week. I thank You for Your provision, that You said You supply all our need according to Your riches in glory. Father, thank You for the tithers, faithful tithers in this church, those that are tithing online. Thank You that Your windows of heaven are open above them, pouring out blessing beyond what they could ever imagine. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Praise God. Thank You for Your giving. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Ushers, you can go ahead. I just want to remind everyone real fast that this Thursday we have our night of prayer and worship at 7 p.m. It's every alternate Thursday. That's this week. Then on Sunday, the 17th of October, we are having another fish fry. Do we have that up there? Yeah, there we go. We've got a fish fry on October the 17th after church. Don't forget that we have Connect groups going on this week. I'm hearing great things from the Connect groups. They're having a great time with Connect group, right? And I want to thank all of our volunteers, our servant leaders, everyone who served today in the kids' church and our worship team and our ushers and our greeters and our media team and everybody who served, everyone who came to pray. Thank you so much. We appreciate you so much. God bless you. Father, I thank You that as we go home, I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You guide us this week, that You lead us this week. Thank You for Your angels that protect us this week. Thank You, Lord, for bringing opportunities for us to speak for You this week and invite someone to church for next Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday.